Students have been fighting against the presence of police officers in schools. These officers, called Student Resource Officers, or SROs, can create a tense and imbalanced learning space for marginalized students. ACLU Collective, a group formed in 2020, has been fighting against SROs since their group's creation. Here is Haley Dash, co-founder of ACLU, on their fight against SROs.
We're an anti-racist feminist collective. We are Black and Brown led, and we came together earlier last year in order to address the issue of the SRO program in Ottawa schools, which is the School Resource Officer program. And so we decided that we would form a ACLU collective in order to lobby school boards and remove police presence from Ottawa schools. Something that's really key to the issue of SROs is the school-to-prison pipeline, which allows marginalized youth to be over-policed and to continue existing under oppression. So it allows Black students and Indigenous students, low-income students, disabled students, all to be targeted by the school resource officer. And so the school-to-prison pipeline does this from a very young age, which is why it's so dangerous, because these youth are exposed to police violence from childhood. So it makes it very dangerous. And this is very evident in Ontario because there's an extreme overrepresentation of Black and Indigenous girls and boys in youth prisons.
A Toronto Star analysis published in 2013 found that Black boys are 4 times more likely to end up in jails, and Indigenous boys are 5 times more likely. Indigenous girls are 10 times more likely to end up in jails.
Policing in schools is really key to this because it sustains an environment of policing in Ottawa schools.
A big part of why BIPOC kids are overrepresented in youth incarceration centers, according to ACLU, is adultification. Adultification is when Black, Indigenous, and kids of color are seen as more adult and less innocent than their white counterparts. According to the report Girlhood Interrupted by Rebecca Epstein, Jamelia Blake, and Talia Gonzalez, this leads to the same behaviors in BIPOC kids to be more heavily criticized than those behaviors would be in white children.
So we see that instead of viewing a lot of the behavior of these racialized students as kind of like typical teenage behavior, instead, because they are students of color, they are Black and Brown, they're adultified, and so their behavior is actually seen as criminal or it's seen as deviant. And because of this, they're under surveillance a lot more intensely than their white counterparts.
ACLU recently launched a new survey to collect qualitative data on the effects of SROs. This is done to further strengthen the information that they have started collecting since May.
And so we see that, first of all, students are very aware of what's going on, and they see Black and Brown youth. They understand that their behavior is being isolated away from their white counterparts and their white peers. And so they see that their treatment is different from both teaching faculty and administration, as well as the police officers who are in their school. So that's one thing. And it really does impact their self-esteem long-term. Something else is, we've had students say that they're scared to be in the halls of their school. So, of course, this presents a barrier to getting an equal opportunity education if we have some students who are very fearful in their educational environment. Obviously, they're not going to be able to get the same type of education that other students are going to get who aren't targeted by police violence. Something else that we noticed as a prominent theme is a lot of the young girls or the female youth in high schools who are exposed to SROs by reporting cases of sexual harassment or assault are actually, they're slut-shamed or they are having holes poked in their stories or they're being subjected to verbal abuse by SROs. And that's something that was really horrific to hear and unfortunate because obviously, if you are a victim of sexual violence and your first exposure to confiding that with someone is that you are, being subject to verbal abuse and slut shaming, that of course, is horrendous to hear from these young girls. So that's also something that definitely needs to be addressed.
In August, the Ottawa-Carleton District School Board voted to defund the SROs at Ridgemont and Gloucester High Schools. This decision was eventually undone after a second meeting on August the 26th.
What OCDSB was actually doing was just, they only actually pay for two school resource officers, which are at Ridgemont and Gloucester. So that was actually just the two schools that they were addressing. The rest of the SROs, which are over two dozen, are actually provided by Ottawa Police Services. So it wasn't a vote to completely abolish the entire SRO program. It was just these two. But even then, that was extremely difficult. I personally spoke at that meeting where the voting took place in order to try allow the school board to and the school board trustees to hear perspective of racialized youth who have been under the surveillance from the school resource officer program. They decided to say no. They weren't convinced, despite many students who had been attending these schools and some other community members who were racialized. They were speaking about their experiences, how they are fearful of police presence in their schools, how they feel like they're under constant surveillance, and this by their teachers already, and it's intensified by an armed and uniformed officer being in their presence. So this is something that we hear a lot from the youth that we're connected with, and then we were trying to convey that to the school boards. And it was really upsetting to see that they weren't willing to listen to the voices of those most impacted by programs like this.
Lyra Evans, a school board trustee who put forward the amendment to defund the two SROs, explains the reasoning behind the decision.
So the school board decided that changes were more requiring of community consultation. They felt that because the SROs had been there for a number of years already, that removing them without direct consultation with the students and the communities of those schools wasn't fair to those communities and schools. I don't think that is the soundest of reasoning, because we heard loud and clear from members of the marginalized communities most impacted by police from those areas that police were negative, a detriment to mental health, a detriment to focus, had negative interactions with students.
The youth in Ottawa have spoken, and they have spoken about the emotional and psychological impacts it has on them. And, you know, they've concluded that, you know, this is a barrier to student safety and a barrier to free education. And so I think only barrier-free education can be ensured through the removal of police presence in schools.
For CHUO-FM, this is Gabby Kalugai-Kasuga.